Hello, friends. Good early morning here in Finland. It's been the day of the inauguration and a little difficult to sleep. So we will continue here with number 44, In the Rays and the Initiations, part two. The first part is done in a written commentary, for the most part. And now this is a video commentary, and we're grateful to some individuals who are helping to transcribe it for your easier access. So this is actually beginning here on the 21st of January, 2017. I've given you 6 methods of building the Antikarana, and as we proceed to take up our next point, I would have you refer to them at frequent intervals, and we would say, of course, they should be memorized, which will be easy as we practice them. The ray methods with which we shall be concerned are the methods uniquely possible on the major, 7 major lines of emanatory energy. I guess there are other lines, you know. There must also be minor lines, I suppose. But anyway, uniquely possible on the 7 major lines of emanatory energy, which differing ray types will bring to bear on the 6 stages of the building process. We can see how much this is for the future, you know, mostly in esoteric groups. We have those whose rays are the 1st and 2nd, occasionally the 6th transferring to the 2nd, but not so much the 3rd ray and even the 7th ray yet. But all of this is prepared for the future. All disciples on all these 7 rays use the same building technique of intention, visualization, projection, invocation and evocation, stabilization, and resurrection. The larger categories remain identical for all types. However, well, we'll get to it. The words of power are different. Of these, the 1st 2 are uniform in technique for all the rays. Okay. But when the stage of projection is reached, then the ray techniques begin to differ, and it is these techniques or methods of ray work, coupled with the 7 words of power, which we shall now begin to consider. The 7 ray methods used in the construction process, that's the next section here. Until the stage of projection is reached, the method employed by all disciples on all rays are identical. We have to gather the substance through intention, and we have to visualize the bridge. So we call this intention and visualization. Their intention is one, and they all have to attain the same measure of tension and of preparation for the construction of the bridge by gathering the needed energy from 2 sources, the personality and the soul. And we have to remember that when we're creating that point of tension on the mental plane, the personality is involved in creating the point of tension on the mental plane. By this focusing, remember what tension is, you know, focused, immovable will. The idea of focus is very strong there. Focus, immovable will. by this focusing and its resultant tension, by thus evoking the spiritual triad as the tension of the lower evokes the attention of the higher, as we have learned, by thus evoking the spiritual triad and starting the dual process of building from both ends of the bridge. This is something we have to keep always in mind, that there is a reciprocal response to everything that we may do as an increasingly soul-infused personality. The work goes forward uniformly, presumably as it should. Reviewing, their intention is one, and they have to attain the same measure of tension, obviously, you know, at a point of tension, and a preparation for the construction of the bridge by gathering the needed energy from two sources, the personality and the soul. And remember, in the gathering from the soul, from what we read earlier, the jewel in the lotus is involved. The point of will, the point of monadic anchorage. So, by this focusing and its resultant tension, by thus evoking the spiritual triad, and we might say, because of the degree of tension, and starting the dual process from both ends of the bridge, there's not so much we can do about what will be the evocative response. That's left up to the consciousnesses on the higher levels, including our own consciousness on the higher levels. And he says, both ends of the bridge, if such a phrase is possible and permissible, the work goes forward uniformly. Now he's searching for all kinds of words here to help bring across a very subtle subject, the nature of which is not yet clear to us because we have not practiced sufficiently and made it our own. The use of the creative imagination is now called for. This is the second stage. This forms the second stage. This presents a real difficulty for the first and seventh ray aspirants. Kind of interesting, because if you look at Foster Bailey, his particular rays, first ray soul, seventh ray brain. Masonry is involved for such people. It is a first ray organization, and it's involved for such people often to help them visualize the inner process, to outpicture the inner process in rite and ritual. Neither type can with facility organize the material energy, orient energy currents, and see their objective clearly in the mind's eye pictorially. And that's quite a statement. I recalled the pictorial difficulty, but not the difficulty in organizing material energy and orienting energy currents. Neither type can with facility organize the material energy, orient energy currents. I suppose, what does that mean? We can say point them in the right direction, and see their objective clearly in the mind's eye pictorially. There may be other ways to see clearly. It is a process which is profoundly difficult for them. Don't we all have our liabilities? Every ray type has its liabilities. And we must all, what can we say, supplement each other somehow. It must, however, in some way be done, because the use of the visual imagination is an essential factor in the building process and one of the major means of focusing prior to projection. You know, we were told that it is the means by which the Buddhic type of organization and arrangement of energies can make the proper kind of impression upon the astral field. Okay, it must be done. Now, this process of projection falls into three main activities. After number one, after due focusing and a careful, sequential, and systematic picturing of the rainbow bridge, you know, so let's just say this is not a vague and sloppy visualization. The disciple, by a distinct and separate effort, okay, so this is separate from the visualization, calls in the will aspect of his nature as far as he can in this incarnation. And this can be done, I suppose, by accessing the personal will and making sure that it is subservient to the will as it is found within the egoic lotus, within the soul nature. Especially, you know, within the jewel in the lotus, even though it's not wholly revealed to the worker at this point in his development. It is in this connection that the differing ray methods make their appearance, the difference being determined by the quality of the ray life. So we can see what a scientific process this is and how much accuracy is needed as we pursue our work. The disciple, number two, the disciple has to preserve steadily the triple consciousness, not simply theoretically, but also factually, so that the three paralleling lines of thought or the three streams of active energy are used by him simultaneously. Now, DK is always talking about, holding a number of realizations in mind simultaneously. Okay, so what are these three? He is aware of himself, personality, and soul. You kind of wonder who's aware, right? Probably the observer is the ultimate being itself, the monad. He is aware of himself, personality, and soul as occupied with the process of bridge building. He never, for 1 second, loses his sense of conscious identity. You know, obviously, he does not drift off. And, you know, as I've been doing, with your permission, so to speak, I've been adding these in for a rainy day. So he remains aware of his identity, excuse me, and what he's doing. He is aware of the point of focus tension which he has succeeded in producing on the mental plane, right? And the three streams of energy have contributed to it. The focused energy of the personality, poised in the lower concrete mind, the inflowing magnetic energy of the soul, streaming out of the 12 petals of the three tiers, plus the innermost tier of egoic lotus. So these, the innermost tier begins to be accessible, and the energy of the jewel in the lotus, all streaming into the center of tension on mental levels of the lower mind, on the mental levels of the lower mind. This is such an important realization, so never forget these three: personality, petals and jewel in the lotus. Never forget these three. So the point of tension is created, sustained, augmented by these three. So that would be, if we simply imagine that we are creating a point of tension from below, the personality energies alone, it will not be sufficiently intense for the projection method to occur successfully. Okay. And C, he is aware of as much of the consciousness of his ray energy as can enter into his awareness. This is his egoic energy, ray energy, and not personality force. Well, so, you know, getting the feel of one's ray energy in a most tangible manner, not just theoretically. He endeavors to see himself as a point, a particular energy, colored by his ray life. Yeah, there's so much detail in what DK is giving here. I find, you know, that I've been working on the Antikarana here, and that I have forgotten some of these details. Let it not be said of us that we forget. Let's make our effort to retain these many valuable instructions. He endeavors to see himself as a point of particular energy colored by his ray life, and carefully bears in mind that the energy of his egoic ray is the major energy through which the monad is attempting to express itself. And I guess this is a very important statement, because it does give the connection of the monad to the egoic ray. It is the subray, or at least one of the subrays of the monad. And I think there's, you know, some subrays on the higher planes, just the way the ego has a kind of subray on its own level, you know, a certain place in the higher mental plane. But this is a method of relating the egoic ray to the monad. So he carefully bears in mind that the energy of his egoic ray is the major energy through which the monad is attempting to express itself, and also that his threefold egoic vehicle is a reflection of and closely related to the three aspects of the spiritual triad. And I think we have, where have we seen that? Let's see if I can find that particular maybe I cannot find it immediately, but I will. Here, I think you see it, that the aspects of the spiritual triad are related to specific petals of the egoic lotus. The monastic permanent atom to the knowledge petals, the Buddhic permanent atom to the love petals, and the atmic permanent atom in the triad to the sacrifice petals. So, in fact, the threefold egoic vehicle is a reflection of and closely related to the three aspects of the spiritual triad, I suppose, in a way, the jewel in the lotus is related to the three synthesis petals. So let's just put that in there for fun, in a way. I use it all the time because sometimes things occur not wholly, but partially. So it is this relation and its conscious interplay and effect which is evoked by building the Antikarana. So this relation is evoked, the relation between the spiritual triad and the petals of the egoic lotus. Okay, so that is in this process being evoked. All right. And which eventually, when it is powerful enough, brings into radiant activity the jewel in the lotus. In other words, the interrelation between the spiritual triad and the petals eventually evokes the full display of the jewel in the lotus. I'm just remembering here or realizing how important it is to read this section with extreme care, because it has so many little important instructions which can be overlooked. Okay, so what do we have here so far? What have we been looking at? The process of projection is falling into three main activities. The necessity of calling in the will aspect, the realization of three constant factors, that he is who he is doing the building, and that the various factors are streaming into the point of tension he is creating, and it is created because of a triple inflow, that he is a center of a certain ray life, and now the third. When these three stages of realization have been completed as far as the disciple feels he is capable of carrying them, so in the beginning, this requires time and care. Then and only then does he prepare himself for the distinctive use of his ray method in preparing for the projecting sound or word of power. I guess we don't have the actual sounds of the word of powers, but we have a meaning can take the place temporarily of the exact sound. Okay. But only when the individual feels he is truly ready and has gone through these phases. So I would say that even those of us who have been working with the Antikarana for some time could go back and carefully follow these many steps with no sense of hurry until we have achieved what we consider to be a really adequate foundation for projection. You can see, he says, from all the above, that this constitutes a definitely planned process of a basic scientific nature and requires as careful following as the procedure of any scientist in search of some advanced chemical formula. Well, we've been warned, and we cannot approach this in a cavalier manner, carelessly overconfident. Every step has to be followed until it eventually becomes well-established and routine. The only difference, scientifically speaking, is that the whole process is carried forward upon the subjective levels and in the realm of consciousness, thus requiring a consciousness and a concentration not needed when working more tangibly on the outer plane of awareness. So in a way, DK is telling us that this is an even more difficult and subtle pursuit than the normal objective scientific pursuits. So deepening, steadying of the penetrating consciousness and a type of concentration which is unrelenting and has to hold in mind a number of constituents of the process simultaneously. At first, it seems complicated as the disciple tries to master the different stages of the process, but it all becomes entirely automatic when once mastered. And upon this, we will count, but we will not seek to have it become automatic until the preparatory stages have really been fulfilled. Preparatory stages must really be fulfilled before the automaticism enters. I wonder what that word is. Automatisms? Well, I'll just leave it that way. Here is the summary of the process up to the point of definite projection. You know, and DK, being, of course, an excellent teacher, constantly realizes how much it is necessary to repeat what one has said, to fix it in the mind which is unaccustomed to think in these terms. So, intention, producing, focusing, and tension. Now remember, three sources contribute to this tension. Focused immovable will, a point of tension. Visualization produced by the Buddhic activity of impression, the tension of the mental body, that substance is held and is not released, it is retained within a field characterized by tension of the gathered energies, and the imaginative processes of the astral body when the astral body is purified, it is easier to link Buddhic impression to the imaginative processes. So we cannot have a undisciplined image-making faculty which produces inappropriate images and expect that Buddhic impression will occur. And then projection, the calling in of the will aspect. And this, of course, this has to come, you know, partially from the jewel in the lotus, but any calling in of the triad is to an extent the will aspect. And the preservation of a triple state of awareness, the factors that are involved, right? The imagination, the retained pool of energies at a point of tension. And a certain word of power. But these are the three he's given. The disciple is aware constantly of his own identity. He is conscious of a fixed point of tension, and he is aware actively of his soul ray and soul energy. So those are the actual three. The disciple is aware constantly of his own identity. He doesn't become passive or lose his sense of who he is and what he's doing. He's conscious of the energies that have been gathered from a triple source, really, from the personality, from the petals, and from the jewel and the lotus, gathered from the personality, petals, and the jewel and the lotus. And he's aware of his soul ray and soul energy, and he tries really to feel this. He tries to relate qualitatively to his particular soul energy. He starts in to use that distinctive ray energy correctly. And he is aware of its distinctiveness from the other energies. And he then, when all the above is completed, uses the word of power, which is the agent of his will, strengthened by soul will. So only, you know, what strikes me here is only after really due preparation is made can the projection process be launched successfully. Okay. This short tabulation, which I guess we should, you know, review constantly, have this in our minds as we attempt to really do this work, should aid in the process. And you can see how stage grows out of stage, and how once familiarity has been established, it should be possible for the preliminary work to be rapidly carried forward. The preliminary work, okay? That for which the personality and even the soul-infused personality is responsible. And there is another one of those words. I simply have to put that in, don't I? As it's only when a real sense of responsibility takes over in the consciousness that the soul is becoming active in the life of the personality. Ponder on this. Well, and of course, later work is out of our control. The quality of the preliminary work will bring in the necessary response from the necessary response from the higher aspects of our nature. Okay. When, however, the distinctive methods of the ray energy of the disciple reach a point of definite use, it is not so simple as it sounds. Well, you know, this is a scientific formula in which we are engaged, or which we are attempting to apply, and we really have to be humble and patient. I'm beginning to wonder, you know, I've been kind of studying this maybe for 40 years, and every time I go back into it, I realize that there are certain suggestions DK has made which maybe I haven't applied as carefully as I might, and maybe the result has not been as satisfactory as it might have been if I had applied these points. So let's all learn that particular lesson and not skip over any of these expert suggestions that are being made by the master. So anyway, he's telling us we're going to use the distinctive ray energy technique, but it's not so simple. Success in the building process is dependent upon the ability to do three things. And, you know, we have to have the preliminaries in place first before we can expect success in the entire process. So, what do we have to do? This is three factors on which the building process depends. So let's put that down, on which the building process depends. Number one, hold the mind steady in the light, presumably the light of the soul, preserving the point of tension at its highest possible point at any given time in the disciple's unfoldment and building activity. Inwardly, you might say, we have to know what is the highest point of tension for us. Register consciousness of soul contact. Thus bringing, you see, the soul is involved. We may be preparing to bypass the soul, but it has a foundational importance. Register consciousness of soul contact, thus bringing about an increasing fusion between soul and personality, so that complete at-one-ment is increasingly attained, so the truly integrated integrated soul personality will be the most successful at this technique. Technically, this means that the energy of the soul ray and of the personality ray merge together with the soul ray dominating always. So important. And, you know, we have to get the feel of these processes so that it's not just academic, not just something occurring in the mind, but it has a tangible, qualitative feel to it. And so that because of this contact, we know it is taking place. We have to hold in mind then, number three, specifically and in detail, the method to be employed in building the bridge according to the particular ray technique and with the objective in view of relating in a new and significant manner, factually and not just theoretically, the spiritual triad and the personality. And this is our objective. We hold this objective in mind, hold this triadal objective in mind. Okay. All right, somewhere we are here. Tends to leap a little bit. So what we've just looked at is three factors on which the building process depends. The mind is held steady in the light, and the point of tension is preserved at the highest possible degree of tension. Soul contact is registered and fusion is occurring. So, you know, we might even say the soul infusion formulas, which are given in EP2, are very important here, And the integration techniques also. And if technique is TQ, then the plural is TQS. Okay. And then the process. The method has to be held in mind with the idea that the spiritual triad will be related more closely to the personality. This is the objective, but it requires soul infusion for success. So obviously, the first stages of meditation have to be mastered so the soul can really infuse the personality. Okay. The soul, therefore, as a separate entity, because it's now, it is now fusing with the personality and does not seem separate, is fading slowly out of the picture because it is being absorbed into and by the personality. This is all part of the externalization process. It's being absorbed by the personality, which is becoming more and more the soul in incarnation. And so great people will give evidence of the soul in their personality life, obviously. Give evidence of the soul in their personality life. Eventually, the relation is established between the spirit, monad. Interesting, I've always thought that spirit is not capitalized in these books, and monad is, you know, how to be standard in this capitalization, I'm not sure. Eventually, the relation is established between the spirit, monad, and personality, form, or matter, with a tiny point of consciousness eternally present, which is aware of both of these factors, yet preserves inviolate its own identity. And this is quite a hint. From one point of view, we do re-realize ourselves as the monad, but this is an intermediary, intermediary point. We have here a kind of intermediary point. So there is the personality, there is the monad triad, but there's also this tiny point of consciousness, which at least in this process remains. And I suppose, you know, obviously this is before we've really become totally the monad. This latter realization is the result of aeonial work through many, many cycles carried forward by the soul. The soul or angel, okay, many, many cycles. Paradoxically, we say the soul fades or drops out, yet in the last analysis it remains, for in this solar system there is naught else but only this consciousness of being. So we might say it is not so much the soul as consciousness which drops out, but the particular form through which that consciousness expresses. In this case, the egoic lotus. Oh, wouldn't I like to be a real typer, huh? Okay. Well, so much to ponder, right? And even more to practice. That's the Virgo part of discipleship, isn't it? Practice makes perfect. And Saturn, the taskmaster, holds us to this practice. The time equation is very much in our hands, if we will. One point I would touch upon here before taking up the seven ray methods of projection. The bridge to be built is called the rainbow bridge, because it is constituted of all the colors of the seven rays. And I suppose this would mean for everyone, not just for, for everyone. We all have all the rays. And our egoic lotus has most of the colors, maybe not red, unless one is a first-ray soul. But it does have orange, does have yellow, does have green, does have blue and indigo blue, and it does have violet. Just doesn't have red. But it does have rose. So rose is kind of a compromise there. It de-intensifies the red, which does appear, of course, in the egoic lotus of the first ray soul. And then, of course, when you gather many disciples together and have them work in group formation, all of the colors are going to be present in the group rainbow bridge. And I think I'll put that down, certainly. All of the colors will be available in the group rainbow bridge. Okay, and I'm in a kind of a, going to add that to the dictionary, because I'm in a United Kingdom type of English here. And there are some spelling differences. Speaking specifically and from the angle of the disciple, the bridge which he builds between the personality and the spiritual triad is composed of seven strands of energy or seven streams of force. This is so important. It's one of those things that I had kind of overlooked, but then, you know, we've been on all the rays and we've had all of them are kind of sub-rays to our major rays. So, the bridge he builds is composed of seven strands. It is a rainbow, you know. Let's put it like this, even for the individual. Let's see. Yeah, IND, I think that's an important one, don't you? Let's put it in. Even for the individual, the seven colors exist. He uses all the rays, having gained facility in so doing, because again and again, his personality and the long cycle of incarnation has been on all the seven rays many times. Now, this is quite an interesting hint, because we might say, even if the soul ray is the same as a particular personality ray, later this may be possible, but is it possible earlier? He does describe in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, a very interesting a case in which a first-ray soul has a first-ray personality. He doesn't discuss other types of soul rays having the same personality as the ray type, but he does for the first ray, and presumably it's possible for all the rays. But usually it seems to me this happens when balance has been achieved a little bit later in the day. So you kind of wonder whether in this long cycle of incarnations, the particular personality which is the same as his soul ray has occurred many times, or whether we have to wait later, until later, and for further development before this happens. All right, that's going to be one of those kind of questions left up in the air for the moment. But his soul ray dominates eventually, and the rainbow bridge, the colors of his rays are heard vibrating, and the note of his ray is seen. And what can I say? This is DK is here is speaking in Davic language. And the Devas, we are told, they see sound and they hear color. Devas see sound and hear color. And it is a very Devic process. We are becoming a builder here, and we're working with Devic substance, hopefully in the right way. The colors of his rays are heard, vibrating, and the note of his ray is seen. There are some people who have this, is it synesthesia? I'm trying to think of what it's called. It's a special term where they have this ability to hear color and see sound. Some human beings have this. I suppose they're particularly related to the Devic kingdom. The bridge built by humanity as a whole is one bridge composed of a multiplicity of individual bridges built by many disciples. So this is the will contribute to the coming enlightenment of humanity. And there's another one I've got to have. H.U. Whoop. Sorry. Yeah. H.U. Let's see if I can do that. Oh. Well. Yeah, okay, that's going to be, I guess I have it already, but it's capitalized, so I'll just let it go. Humanity. So this is the great bridge, the human bridge. Eventually will become a project of the human race. It is therefore formed eventually of seven strands or streams of energy coming from the seven egoic groups, one group of each ray type. So this is an ultimate kind of, I'll get that ready in a second. This is an ultimate objective. We're not there yet by any means. To this bridge, the creative work of all human beings who reach the stage of soul contact contributes, because even the beginning of soul contact is the beginning of the more definite bridge. Even the beginning of soul contact is the beginning of the later phases of the Antikvarana. Their dominant strands of light fuse into one whole, and their lesser strands are lost to sight in the radiant light of the sevenfold bridge, which will eventually, humanity will eventually complete. Right. You know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to get rid of HU. Let's just say delete. Okay. And okay. And I'm going to add just a simple HU. Whoop. I thought I would anyway. HU. And if this doesn't work, you know, I will somehow stop it. Oh, that was my promise, right? HU humanity. HU humanity. And I want to delete that. No, I don't want that. I just want H-U-M. And that, you know, I've used that for human. And I think I will do it there. Human. And now I'll try once again with H-U-M. And I'll eliminate one. And it looks like I'm going to succeed. Okay. There we go. So their dominant strands fuse into one whole, and their lesser strands are lost to sight in the radiant light of the sevenfold bridge, which humanity will eventually complete. So nothing we have done along the line of the seven rays is ever lost. So all of our experience on the seven rays is retained, but not so noticeably in the great rainbow bridge of humanity. Okay. Even in this finally completed bridge at the end of the world cycle. Now, you know, this is not necessarily our present round, but can be all the rounds which relate to the Earth chain. One ray light and color will predominate, the second ray with the fourth ray as the subsidiary ray. These are the coming rays of humanity. This is where a strong hint about that is. These are the coming rays of humanity. Right now, the soul of humanity is on the fourth ray. The fourth ray might be symbolically called the main cable for humanity because it is the dominant note of the fourth creative hierarchy. But later, this may change. Later, it seems that this will change. Now we're going to take up the seven ray methods one by one. So this seems to be a good place to stop this particular program. So this is the end of Rays and Initiations webinar commentary, number 44, and here we are on the 21st of January. We've entered Aquarius 2017. And our pages, well, we're just up to page 505, and we began at page 500. That was correct, wasn't it? I do remember that. So pages 500 to 505. And right up to 506, and we'll be beginning with Rays Initiation Webinar Commentary number 45. We'll see when we'll do this. It's kind of the kind of the middle of the night here, but we'll see. Maybe we'll continue 45, and this will still be the 21st of January. And we'll start with, we'll really start with page 506 because it's the very end. Well, I think you'll agree that this is profound material. And obviously it does good to read it and to know what we're doing. But until the work of gathering the energy at the necessary point of tension fed by the different aspects of ourself contributing to that point of tension, and till we work with the clear visualization effort, we cannot really undertake the stage of projection which will lift our consciousness into the higher worlds, in which we already, of course, paradoxically participate. But that is kind of cut off from our personality consciousness through a process which I call dimensional sealing, S-E-A-L-I-N-G. So interesting here about humanity's second ray and fourth ray. We are destined to be a second ray kingdom, or at least, I guess kingdom. You know, our creative hierarchy is ruled by the fourth ray, and it's the main cable, but the second ray is emerging. So the deep indigo blue and the yellow, these are our colors eventually. So, you know, it's not just an individual task. We are working to build the great antichrona of humanity, which will relate the entire kingdom to the higher spheres and will bring about the certainly the transformation of humanity. Okay, I guess that's going to have to be it for the moment, and we will continue with number 45. I always feel incomplete, you know, with respect to any of these discussions. One, you know, cannot go on forever. Maybe that would have to be done more in person. Okay, I've got to put this in about the main cable for humanity. But we are giving way to the second ray, and you know, it will relate us to Venus and to Jupiter, two planets with very strong second ray on one aspect or other of their constitution. So we will go on shortly. See you then. Bye bye.